Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Tuesday, March 5th, 2019 to you all. You are now locked into another edition of WKAR's Current Sports coming to you right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We've got another hot show coming your way, a lot to get to. Of course, we will preview tonight's Michigan State men's basketball matchup against Nebraska. Now, Nebraska, let's keep it real, not a great team. Nebraska has been struggling, and that's keeping it really kindly. I could use many words to describe the incredible drought that the Cornhuskers are on right now. Michigan State trying to lick its wounds, get out of the doghouse, and get back on a winning track as they, of course, fell to Indiana on Saturday this past weekend. It was not a great finish for Michigan State. Good start. Had the lead at halftime, and then just things went horribly wrong. All right, so Michigan State is looking to get back on the winning track prior to this weekend's regular season finale. What a finale it will be, as Michigan State will welcome in-state rival the Michigan Wolverines to the Breslin Center. That's going to be a fun game. Now, of course, we'll preview that, and we'll talk a lot of rivalry talk as the week goes along, but Michigan State has to handle business tonight against Nebraska. So we will preview Spartans and Cornhuskers. I'll also elaborate on the news that broke yesterday concerning current Big Ten commissioner. He's actually been the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference dating back to 1989. Long time, folks. But Jim Delaney is calling it quits. Delaney will be retiring as the Big Ten commissioner in the summer of 2020. What does that mean for the future of the Big Ten Conference? You'll get my thoughts on that. And then later on this hour, we'll talk about the surging Detroit Pistons. How about that? You guys know I am a diehard red, white, and royal blue fan. And my Pistons are looking good right now. They are sitting in a pretty good spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference to possibly make the playoffs, as we have just about like 20 games left. Pretty remarkable. So, how has Dwayne Casey and his troops been able to pull this off? We'll dive into that as well. So, a lot to get to on the show. If you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. You can pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the new look live stream, and you can weigh in below that live stream, and you can also tweet the show, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the hour at WKAR News. All right, but you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
listen, you keep playing to the end and see what happens, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, I've been talking about it for a while now. We shouldn't even, everyone's been talking about the postseason. We need to worry about each and every game and how we can continue to get better with our process and get better with our team. So, you know, obviously, you know, at the end of the year, you know, the chips will fall where they may, you know, and you'll see where you're at. No, I mean, we didn't win or lose, a win or lost league. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we've had positive. We've had a lot of negative, obviously, as far as our play. But at the end of the day, you're in a result league. Your results is how many wins you can accumulate, you know, throughout the course of the season. So, you know, you take the good with the bad, and you just keep pushing forward. You know, for me personally, I can speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody else. I continue to be the professional and, you know, and be as great as you can be every single night, no matter the circumstances, because someone's always watching.
All right, so a little hiccup there. We got Brad Walker behind the glass, engineer of today's current sports. Hit the wrong button. All right, we wanted to go to the headliners there, but why not? I just briefly want to talk about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. I was going to address this after the headliners, but we'll get to it right now because it is a pretty big topic. I'm not going to spend 10 minutes on this, okay? But, you know, I've been getting the conversation a lot. I'm an NBA fan. You guys know that. And I've been having this conversation about LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers and what kind of hit does the legacy of LeBron James take now that we pretty much know it's written, right? I mean, the Lakers, it's going to take an absolute miracle in order for them to make the playoffs now as we come down the home stretch of the NBA's regular season. The Lakers are not going to make the playoffs. Welcome to the Western Conference, right, LeBron? I mean, my goodness, it just goes to also show, you know, LeBron probably could have taken this Lakers team to the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference because the Eastern Conference is so bad. But in the West, it is an entirely different story, all right? An entirely different story. It is much more tough to make the playoffs in the West. We all know that. So the Lakers right now sitting at 30-34 overall. Actually, that will be right in the thick of things. If you put the Lakers in the NBA's Eastern Conference, the Lakers right now would be an 8 seed in the conference. It just goes to show the difference in talent team-wise comparing the West to the East, right? But the Lakers aren't making the playoffs at 30-34 in the West. The 8th spot right now is being held down by the San Antonio Spurs, who are riding right now a three-game win streak at 36-29. And there's even talks right now that the Lakers are thinking about maybe shutting down LeBron James for the rest of these final 20 or so games because reality is kind of setting in. And also on the NBA rumor mill, I saw this on Sports Illustrated's webpage this morning. And there's a rumor that Luke Walton will be axed at the conclusion of the regular season for the Lakers. And riddle me this, Tyronn Lue will probably step in as the head coach of the Lakers come next season. Kid you not, folks. And I'm seeing multiple outlets out there, you know, tweet out that this is legit. Tyronn Lue may be the guy. It's looking like he will be the guy to lead the Lakers come next season. And it kind of makes sense. LeBron James always wants his guys, right? Tyronn Lue, he won a national champion, championship, with the Cleveland Cavaliers when those two were together, when LeBron made his homecoming to the city of Cleveland. He wants one of his guys in a position like the head coach. That's LeBron James. He's the GM. He's the owner. And he is the coach. That's LeBron for you. So what kind of hit does this take on LeBron's legacy? It's a hit, certainly. We know that. I mean, LeBron James, who is still at the height of his powers to not make the playoffs at this point in his career, when he's not getting any younger, when he's trying to continue to chase that, what do you call MJ? The ghost in Chicago, when he's trying to still chase the ghost in Chicago, that is the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You can't have years right now where you don't make the playoffs. And also added on with the drama that is the Lakers, right? The drama with him going back and forth with Magic and company, trying to ship players out to try and accrue Anthony Davis to the team. I can only imagine what that did to the Lakers' chemistry or lack thereof. And then the injury that occurred on Christmas Day against the Golden State Warriors that put LeBron out for quite some time and totally, talk about chemistry, that really ruined whatever chemistry the Lakers were building. And then you had also injuries to guys like, you know, Lonzo Ball and a few others. And the Lakers just couldn't stay healthy. And when they were healthy, they were trying to work on that on-the-court chemistry, game in and game out, which made it really tough when you're not 100%, right? So, you know, LeBron will not make the playoffs. It's going to be a bit weird not seeing LeBron James in the playoffs for the first time since his second season in the National Basketball Association. And to that, I say, what did you expect as well? I mean, what did you really expect? This is a Lakers franchise that has been bad for a long time. They're on like a five-game postseason losing streak right now. That's a five-year postseason losing streak. I mean, that's a long time, folks. So to reasonably look at it and say, all right, LeBron James is on the roster now. We're going to make the playoffs now in the NBA's toughest conference just wasn't realistic in the first place. But because he's LeBron James, I guess the expectations change a bit, right? Okay, right now, let's get to our current sports quick hit headliners. A lot to get to. A very eventful week. And I want to start with some breaking news. Actually, Brad Walker, you threw this in our headliners not too long ago. And it concerns Rick Pitino, right? Shocking stuff. A federal judge on Tuesday sentenced the three men convicted of pay-for-play schemes to steer high-profile recruits to Adidas-sponsored college basketball programs to multiple months in prison. Now, according to Law 360, U.S. District Court Judge Louis A. Kaplan sentenced former Adidas executive James Gatto to 9 months in federal prison. Former Adidas consultant Merrill Code, he gets 6 months. And aspiring sports business manager Christian Dawkins also gets 6 months. Now, in October, a federal jury in New York convicted the three men of felony charges of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud after a three-week criminal trial. They were accused of funneling money from Adidas to the families of high-profile recruits to ensure that they signed with the sneaker company and certain financial planners and business managers once they turned pro. Among other allegations, the men were accused of conspiring to pay $100,000 from Adidas to Brian Bowen's father to influence him to sign with Louisville in the summer of 2017. And we all know who the head coach of the Louisville men's basketball program was at that time, Rick Pitino, who is, again, no longer the head coach of Louisville. He's actually trying to dabble in coaching overseas now. So breaking news concerning that drama. We knew that a verdict was going to come down soon. I just didn't expect that to happen today. But again, three men and James Gatto, Merrill Code, and Christian Dawkins being sentenced to time in federal prison. Gatto getting 9 months, Code 6 months, and Dawkins 6 months. All right, I'll further elaborate on that story later on this hour. All right, in girls high school basketball district first round action yesterday, a few scores I want to pass along to you guys. In Division One, Holt over Mason, 63-24, your final. Jackson over Okemos, 57-43. DeWitt beating Caledonia, 54-38. St. John's over Lowell, 49-27. In Division Two, Lansing Eastern beating Lansing Sexton, 41-27. Lakewood over Portland, 52-49. Parma Western over Olivet, 62-38. Williamston over Fowlerville, 37-32. Really close one there. Hazlitt beating Perry, 46-35. And in D3 action, Pawama Westphalia over Ithaca, 52-21. And Langsburg beats Bath by 3, 39-36. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team heads back to the Breslin Center tonight for a matchup against Nebraska. The Spartans dropped down to number 9 in the Associated Press poll yesterday, but are still double-digit favorites against a Cornhusker team that has lost 3 straight. Right now, Michigan State is listed as a 13-point favorite for tonight. Nick Ward will not play yet again. 4th straight game in which we have not seen Ward. And Kyle Arnes could be doubtful following a re-aggravated back injury on Saturday in Indiana. Nebraska has gone 2-7 since losing Isaac Copeland to injury at the end of January, but senior guard James Palmer Jr. averages 18.5 points per game. Tip time for tonight, scheduled for 7 p.m. You can catch that game on ESPN2. All right, and yesterday, the Big Ten Conference announced its all-Big Ten teams for women's college basketball, and there were 4 MSU players on the list. Guard Shea Collie named as a first-teamer by coaches and a second-team selection by the media, averaging almost 15 points a game. The freshman guard, Nia Clouden, was named to the all-freshman team and was an honorable mention by coaches in the media. Senior center Jenna Allen was a unanimous second-team selection, and senior guard Taryn McCutcheon was an honorable mention from the media. The Spartans now start their Big Ten Conference tournament in Indianapolis, Indiana, on Thursday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. They will open up the first round against Northwestern at noon on the Big Ten Network. All right, after almost 30 years in the role, Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney will retire once his contract runs out in 2020. Now, since Delaney took over in 1989, plenty has happened in the conference. Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland, and Rutgers all joined to push the Big Ten to 14 teams. The Big Ten Network was also launched, and the Big Ten Championship game in football was created as well. Now, some have speculated that a change in the college football playoff format could be coming once Delaney is finished in June of 2020. Current Northwestern athletic director Jim Phillips is currently the favorite to take over. The Detroit Red Wings head to Denver to take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. It will be a 9 p.m. puck drop. Detroit is currently on a 7-game losing streak, but still 4 points ahead of last place Ottawa for the number 1 draft odds. Colorado, as well, out of the playoff race in the Central Division, but you can still catch the game on Fox Sports Detroit. And also on Friday, fans can view the body of Detroit Red Wings great Ted Lindsay at Little Caesars Arena. Doors open for Lindsay from 9:07 to 7:07 p.m., so roughly around 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. that day. Lindsay sadly passed away on Monday at the age of 93 after an illustrious career for the Winged Wheel and also the Chicago Blackhawks. All right, the Detroit Tigers continue spring training action today, a matchup against the Toronto Blue Jays. Lefty free agent signing Matt Moore gets the start for Detroit as the lineup has just 3 likely major players on it. They just got underway from Lakeland as we speak. I'll give you an update on that matchup throughout the hour. And last week's signing of Bryce Harper by the Philadelphia Phillies has already had quite the effect on jersey buyers. Fanatic reported back on Sunday that Harper's number 3 jersey sold the most in any sport for any player during the first 24 hours of a launch. That beats out LeBron's L.A. Lakers jersey this past summer. Pretty impressive stuff. Bryce Harper, I still can't believe that 13-year, $300-plus million contract. That's insane. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and join the hour, again, pick up the phone and dial 517-355-9527, 355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can watch the live stream and comment below the video. You can also weigh in on Twitter, tweet the show at WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, before we dive into talk on the Michigan State men's basketball game tonight against Nebraska, this is a big game for the simple fact that there is no margin for error now for the Spartans. If you are going to have any kind of shot, hoping that, you know, either Minnesota or Northwestern somehow, some way finds a way to beat Purdue, Michigan State has to handle business these next two games, starting tonight against Nebraska and then in the regular season finale against in-state rival Michigan come this Saturday night. Before we preview that game, I do want to I do have some thoughts on Jim Delaney retiring as Big Ten commissioner. Pretty crazy that Jim Delaney has been the commissioner of the conference since 1989. That's a long time, folks. And actually, did you know, some trivia for you here. Did you know that while in college, Delaney actually played basketball for the great Dean Smith at the University of North Carolina, where he played actually on two teams that reached the Final Four, including his senior year when he was one of the team's captains. I didn't know that about Jim Delaney. But he was appointed as Big Ten commissioner back in 1989. And, you know, you can look at this two ways, because there are some out there that don't like how Jim Delaney has managed the Big Ten Conference in recent years. But it's hard to deny, you know, as I noted in the quick hit headliners, it's hard to deny the kind of impact, positive impact, that Jim Delaney has had throughout his time as Big Ten commissioner. I mean, during his time in the conference, Delaney has overseen massive advances and expansions in the conference. Now, while some, like the establishment of the Big Ten Network, which brought in a lot of money to Big Ten universities with the TV deals, that was huge. Some people like that. But other people look at the expansion of the Big Ten, and they bring up the leaders and legends division within the Big Ten Conference and say, Jim, what in the world were you thinking? But again, under his leadership, Jim has done some good things here. No doubt about it. Financially, the Big Ten Network has brought in a ton of money to Big Ten universities due to those TV deals. Also, under his leadership, we saw Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers, all joining the conference, varying degrees of success depending on which school you're talking about. And, you know, it's really impossible to uncouple, you know, bringing those schools like Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers to the Big Ten. It's hard to have that discussion without also getting to the foundation of why those teams joined the conference. It was clearly based on the financial benefits that adding those schools to the conference would have to the Big Ten Conference as a whole. All right. And also the financial benefits of the Big Ten Network. I mean, without a doubt, the moves that Jim Delaney made increased the financial success of the conference as a whole. All right, and also with the expansion into the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and New York / New Jersey media markets, Delaney did increase the cable revenue for each of the schools in the league. So, and looking at the numbers further there, when you really dive into the financial successes that Delaney has had, he made Big Ten schools rich. And by embracing those media outlets, resulting in that six-year football and basketball rights deal with ESPN, Fox, CBS, and the Big Ten Network. As a whole, that was worth, folks, $2.64 billion, with a B. $2.64 billion. Pretty impressive stuff. Now, on the flip side of that, he did clash with some schools and coaches. That included Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald by adding Friday night football games. We all know about that riff, right? He also took a shot at the SEC regarding academic standards for football signees. That was also a pretty dramatic conversation. And he also pushed for better basketball matchups, such as the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which I enjoy. I think that's a really cool thing. I'm glad that deal got done. And also moved the men's basketball tournament to Washington and New York, which did enrage a lot of fans here in the Midwest. I didn't mind, in particular, the New York Big Ten men's basketball tournament, just because it was kind of refreshing to see it in a different location. But I totally get why there were a lot of fans out there in the Midwest saying, what are you doing? Why not keep this thing, you know, in Chicago at the United Center or in Indianapolis, a more central location for the overall geographic location of the Big Ten schools? You know, keep it in Indianapolis, Indiana, you know, keeping it at a Bankers Life Fieldhouse or a United Center like Chicago, which, you know, that's where it is this year. But I didn't mind it when it was at Madison Square Garden. I believe that was last year, wasn't it, Brad? It was at MSG last year. Yeah, it was last year when it was at MSG. I didn't mind that. It was kind of refreshing for me, but I get it. I get why overall most fans didn't enjoy it. So, you know, now that Jim Delaney has announced his retirement, you know, also, as I noted in the headliners, it looks as though Jim Phillips, who is the athletic director at Northwestern, he is the favorite to take over. And overall, from what I've been reading on Twitter and the conversations I've been having, most people are kind of happy that Jim Delaney is moving on as commissioner of the Big Ten Conference. Most are saying, all right, cool. Well, let's bring some fresh ideas to the table. And Jim, just a lot of people weren't a fan of how Jim tried to, you know, make some changes within the conference. Especially for me, the Leaders and Legends, I wasn't a big fan of that. And then Jim, I feel like, was just kind of losing touch with what the fans wanted as a whole. You know, I would listen to Jim whenever Big Ten Media Days would roll around, and he would go to the podium and just have kind of an introduction statement. He would take like two questions when there were many questions that the media wanted to ask him, and then he would just kind of chuck up the deuces and be out. So, yeah, Jim Delaney, though, retiring in 2020, that was big news that came across the desk yesterday. I want to go behind the glass right now. Brad Walker, engineer of this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Brad, I want to get your thoughts. I mean, were you a fan of Jim Delaney? Are you a fan of Jim Delaney? And what's your reaction to the news that he is stepping down and resigning in 2020?
Not surprised that he's retiring after, what, 30 years or so. Mixed emotions with Jim over the years. But, I mean, overall, I think he was, I would go 60-40 on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did right. A lot with the big signing, the big deals with CBS and ESPN and Fox Network. He did a good job with that. You know, you take the good with the bad with Jim, but for the most part, I think he did okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with $2.64 billion, right?
Yeah.
You know, without a doubt, the schools within the Big Ten Conference benefited financially from the TV deals that Jim Delaney was able to pull off, you know, and the establishment of the Big Ten Network and then in the partnership with ESPN, Fox, CBS, and the Big Ten Network. That's a lot of moolah. But as far as from a competitive standpoint, you know, just real quick, the Leaders and Legends, when that happened, I just did not understand it. And even now, Brett, I have to be real with you. I mean, even now with the way, looking at college football within the Big Ten Conference, the way it's split up right now, It's way too lopsided.
It is.
I mean, in one conference, you got Michigan State and Michigan and Ohio State. I believe Penn State is
Penn
also.
State, yeah.
You know that, and then you compare that, which is I believe the East, right? Michigan State, Ohio State. That's
correct.
That's in the East, and right. Then you compare that to the West, and it's like,
which is usually Wisconsin,
right? Usually
this
Wisconsin.
Year, this year was Northwestern. You know, so once in a while you may have somebody else, but it's usually Wisconsin.
Exactly. I don't understand that splitting though. I don't get it.
Do you like the Big 12, the way they do their football standings?
I do. I think that's a better model.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better model and more evenly distributed. You know, you get better matchups that way. So, you know, I don't understand that. And it's things like that. You know, also, this is another thing that Jim Delaney helped implement within the world of college sports, particularly college basketball within the Big Ten Conference, is the new replay rules. Now, depending on who you talk to, you're going to have a variance of opinions, you know, that way as well. For me, you know, I've always looked at replay as a tool that you got to utilize because at the end of the day, you want to get the call right. But it gets to a certain standpoint, and you and I have had conversations mm-hmm. about this, Brad, yep. where it's just totally overdone.
It is.
And, you know, you're looking at the same play over and over and over, and it totally disrupts the momentum or whatever momentum existed for whatever team. It totally disrupts that, and then you kind of get back into the thick of things. But you know, depending on who you talk to, and I think the majority of sports fans out there don't enjoy how replay is done in the world of college hoops, but it's a tool that I think needs to be utilized.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be more modifications though,
right.
For that
I agree.
So there you have that. I want to get your reaction to Jim Delaney retiring. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, the new look live stream there. And you can tweet the hour at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. On the other side of this first break, we will dive into tonight's college basketball matchup between Michigan State and Nebraska. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Getting some comments coming in courtesy of our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben weighs in and says that I wish college hockey would get more airtime. College hockey used to get television a ton of used to get televised, I should say, a ton several years ago. And the NCAA hockey tournament used to be the thing to watch during late March. Same thing with the GLI holiday hockey tournament. It's a shame that it's not being televised as much anymore, and you wonder why college hockey is losing its fan base. I think that's a really good point, Ben. And first off, you know, I always say this anytime we talk hockey here on WKAR's Current Sports. Hockey already is a niche sport. It really is. And when you talk about college hockey, that becomes a really, 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 really niche sport. That is a small fan base there. But, you know, here at Michigan State, you know, just speaking solely on Michigan State hockey has such a rich history, right? You know, dating back to the Ron Mason days and, you know, when I first became a reporter here in the area, I would talk with seasoned reporters who have covered Michigan State sports for a long time, and they would constantly bring up how Michigan State hockey was a hotter ticket than any other sport back in the 90s. And yes, I'm talking about college football. I'm talking about college basketball. What Ron Mason built, what was truly something special. And then, you know, after that, that's when things changed. And Tom Izzo began to win more and get Michigan State men's basketball into the tournament. Then Coach D'Antonio came around and put Michigan State college football back on the map. And Michigan State hockey just has not been the same since. And, you know, Brad, you could probably speak on this more than me, actually, because I know you keep more of a close ear to the world of college hockey than I do. But I tell you what, it did stun me when I looked at the final standings in the world of Big Ten hockey come Monday morning. And I saw that Michigan and Michigan State were at the bottom barrel of Big Ten rankings. How things have changed, I should say. I mean, my goodness, Michigan and Michigan State finishing 6 and 7, respectively.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What has happened, Brad?
You know, this year it's been more tight. I mean, it's been Ohio State and then pretty much everybody else for the rest of the year. But the last 2 years, it's been Michigan, Michigan State at the bottom of the ladder there. And I know the changing of the guard, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Michigan will get back there. I think Michigan State is on its way. It's just going to take a little bit longer.
It's going to take some time. I think that at the end of the day, I do believe that Danton Cole is going to do a great job here.
I think he will, too.
He is going to do a great job. You can just sense that things are changing and that the culture is changing a bit at Monice Arena. It's going to take some time, though. But I will say that when I looked at the final rankings and knowing the history that these two storied college hockey programs have, to see Michigan and Michigan State at 6th and 7th in the final standings in the Big Ten, I said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of had a thought like, my goodness. Time has certainly changed, folks.
But they're playing a lot of good teams. I mean, with Notre Dame coming in, I mean, that's a quality school, quality hockey program right there. I'd like to see more fans out there to support the Spartans.
Right.
You know, I think that helps, but I know that it's, you know, you have to do well before you get the fans out, but I'd like to see more fans out there. At Munn.
If you build it, they will come, right? If you win, they will come.
Right.
And I want to ask you, Brad, also, I mean, because you've been to many MSU hockey games, and the attendance isn't great.
No.
I feel like this season, though, we did see a few games where fans did come out and show some love to the Spartans. But what does that say about the Michigan State fan base, that you have to win in order for them to show up? Is that just a Michigan State thing? Or do you see other programs out there where you have to win in order for fans to really pack the house? Because I've seen a few programs out there. You don't have to really be a lights-out team in order for them to pack the gym or to pack the hockey arena.
Well, you've seen Michigan State football this past year.
Exactly. I should have just thought about that, right?
But look at Nebraska basketball and football. Nebraska was not very good at football this year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have sold out for how many years now?
It's crazy.
It doesn't matter. When I watched Michigan State, Nebraska there at football, watching them with, what was that, a 9-6 game?
Mm-hmm.
The Huskers were there. They were cheering.
Right. That's a good point.
It was loud.
Right. And the part of that, you know, I chuckle to myself and say, well, it is Nebraska. What else is there to do, right?
Well, that's,
it's Nebraska. Yeah. But I'm with you on that, Brad. Mm-hmm. But that's just how it is at Michigan State. If you don't win, I mean, fans, there are the diehard Michigan State fan. I think that especially it's elevated here in 2019. The diehard MSU fan is really hard to come by nowadays. All right, I want to go to our phone lines right now. I do believe we have Ray from Indiana waiting oh so patiently. Ray, what's up, man?
Hey, Skipper, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ray. What's on your mind?
I can't believe it. I had to call you. I was a bit tied up yesterday. I couldn't call you. But what the hell's going on with the Spartans? How can they go and beat the Bullies up in Ann Arbor and then go to Indiana and stink it up?
Yeah, well, you know, as I elaborated on yesterday's show, Ray, it was a combination of, one, Tom Izzo had the same lineup, made no substitutions in the final 11 minutes and 42 seconds of the game, and also they were bullied on the offensive boards, and they turned the basketball over way too much. And that's what kept Indiana in the game eventually. Every time I say it, I have to like say, wow, did I really just say that? But Indiana now has swept Michigan State in the season series for the regular season. That's crazy to think about, Ray.
Yeah, I know it. All the losses they've had. They've had some good wins, but they've had a lot of terrible losses. Hey, is Ward going to be back for the Bullies?
I don't know. That's a good question. We know Tom Izzo held his press conference yesterday at the Breslin Center and said that Nick Ward will not play tonight against Nebraska. He is getting healthier, Izzo noted. You know, he's participating in some drills out there, not going all full go, but he is healing. Not sure what is going to be his status for this weekend's matchup against Michigan. We don't know.
What day is that game, Saturday or Sunday?
That is Saturday night. I believe it's like an 8 p.m. tip time, something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to beat them in the rematch if you don't play a lot better than that you did against Indiana. You're going to have to bully them around. You can't be doing that crap like Indiana game.
That's very true, Ray. You got to bring it. I also want to note this too, Ray, and we'll dive more into this as we get closer and closer to that matchup on Saturday. But Charles Matthews, his health is kind of up in the air too. He's still dealing with that ankle injury, but they didn't need him to blow out Nebraska not too long ago, this past weekend.
Did you ever hear that New England joke I told him off the air?
No New England joke. It's not FCC compliant. That's what I'm hearing, Ray. So, no, we can't.
Well, I know. No, ask your buddy.
Okay.
Give it to you after the show's over. Okay?
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Ray, for not saying it over the air. Ray, thank you. Ray from Indiana. And it's so funny. You guys probably saw it on the live stream. As soon as Ray brought up that joke, you see Brad Walker behind the glass saying, no, don't say that on the air, Ray. Don't say it on the air. So, Ray from Indiana, ladies and gents. But, yeah, I mean, you know, looking at Michigan, that Michigan game, like I've been saying, guys, if Nick Ward is not 100%, I don't care. If it's Michigan, I understand it's the in-state rivalry. You know, depending on what happens in these next two games for Purdue, you could be competing for at least a share of a Big Ten title, even though I don't think Purdue is losing to Minnesota or Northwestern. I don't care. If Nick Ward is not 100%, continue to keep him out. That's just my feelings on it. All right, a great segue into tonight's matchup discussion between Michigan State and Nebraska. Michigan State is a 13-point favorite tonight. Brett, I don't know. If I was a betting man, I would not be picking Michigan State to cover that. I don't know.
I will.
You think Michigan State's going to cover 13 points against Nebraska?
If they keep the same lineup and play a lot of those minutes, yeah.
You think so? I don't know. Just because we haven't seen, I mean, a Michigan State double-digit blowout like that, like 13 points in a long time. I know. It's Nebraska, but my goodness, I don't know. If I was a betting man, I would go the opposite way of that. So just real quick, to throw out your prediction for tonight. So Michigan State wins, obviously. We're both choosing that. By how much then?
17.
You're going 17 points, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, real quick. I want to look at Nebraska just for a moment here, Brad, because Nebraska's really struggling right now. This is just not a good basketball team. And, you know, back-to-back home wins over Minnesota and Northwestern, and my goodness, that doesn't give Spartan fans out there confidence, right, when it comes to Purdue having to finish out the year against Minnesota and Northwestern. My goodness, Nebraska, as bad as Nebraska is, those are the last two wins that they had against Minnesota and Northwestern. So back-to-back home wins over Minnesota and Northwestern in mid-February are their only victories in the last 12 games for Nebraska. Crazy, right? Now, that losing stretch began with a 70-64 home loss to Michigan State back on January 17th. Now, this is the thing about Nebraska. They lost their second leading scorer, 6'9" forward Isaiah Copeland, who at the time was averaging 14 points per game, 5 rebounds per game. You take away his production, they lost Copeland to a knee injury in late January against Ohio State, and have fallen by double digits now 6 times without Copeland. That's been a big loss for the Cornhuskers. Now, they have talented pieces, Brad. This is why I say, this is why I'm not confident in Michigan State winning by 13 points. Nebraska still has talented pieces on this roster. They still have a big-time scorer. You'll hear this name a lot tonight. James Palmer, who's averaging 18.5 points per game, almost 19 points per game. Also, a capable veteran point guard in Glenn Watson Jr. He's pretty solid. And also, you look at big man Isaiah Roby, who is averaging right now 7 rebounds per game. Now, Roby was kept in check in that first meeting in January, on January 17th, Brad, because a lot of it had to do with Nick Ward. Nick Ward was on the basketball court. He was affecting how effective Isaiah Roby was in that game. Nick Ward is no longer on this team. He will not, well, he's on the team, but again, he's not healthy. He's not going to be playing on the court tonight, which may allow Roby to get loose a little bit. We'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how Xavier Tillman matches up against Isaiah Roby in this game. Also, something really interesting about that first matchup, Brad. Did you know Gabe Brown played 20 minutes in that first meeting? And also, you know, about Kyle Arnes, you know, being questionable, being doubtful for tonight due to that aggravated back. Well, if you remember, you know, at the start of Kyle Arnes' back injuries, it you know, began around that time in that first meeting between Nebraska and Michigan State. Did not play Kyle Arnes in that first meeting, which can be encouraging because you may not see a lot of, if not at all, Kyle Arnes playing tonight. So, but Gabe Brown playing 20 minutes in that first meeting. I think that Tom Izzo, I'm curious to see what the rotation looks like, because I think Izzo, I don't know how you can look at that film if you're Tom Izzo and not kick yourself when you think about the fact that you didn't sub anybody in the last 11 minutes and 42 seconds. You think that's going to change tonight, Brad?
Yeah, I think it actually will a little bit. I think we'll see some more guys play a little bit more minutes. Maybe not as much as you would like to see, but I think they will play some more minutes. Gabe Brown, I think, will. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Bingham Jr. tonight, just for maybe 2-3 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Right.
Nothing major.
I wouldn't be surprised. We've been waiting to see Marcus Bingham play more than 5 minutes,
yeah.
Right? So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in the game as well, especially if somehow Michigan State can this is what I said on Friday's show. You know, this is a game where you look at and you say, all right, if your starters need rest, obviously they need rest. You're playing a lowly team, a seemingly lowly team in Nebraska. It was Indiana on Saturday. In an ideal situation, you would want to get out to an early big lead so that you can rest your starters and you can see guys like Marcus Bingham, players like Foster Lawyer, those kind of guys, Gabe Brown, get more minutes so that you can maybe get them some experience so that come March, they're more comfortable with being out there on the basketball court. Michigan State needs a blowout victory here. They really do, Brad, just for the simple fact of getting these young pups more experience and also getting the starters much needed rest. I just don't know. Michigan State has been flirting with teams like Nebraska, and we saw what happened in the two games against Indiana. They've been flirting with competition that on paper they should blow out. I just get the same feeling when I look at a game like this tonight.
And the other person I'm interested to see in playing, if Kyle Arnes doesn't play, a little bit of Connor George.
Ah, really?
Now, didn't he play a little bit last year when we were a little bit depleted, I want to say? They brought him in for a few hard defensive minutes, I want to say.
Yeah, they did. We've seen more of Connor George.
I'm wondering if Connor George might see some time tonight.
It all depends on the scoreboard.
It does, but...
That's the big thing for me.
I'm wondering.
Okay.
Give him some time.
If he gets out there, props to you, Brad.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll call you Nostradamus on tomorrow's
Current
Sports.
Don't forget, too, Nebraska... a couple of games ago, did play Purdue. It wasn't home.
Right.
They only lost by 3 to Purdue. And I know road games are tough. I get it. But that was Purdue.
It's Purdue. The team that's right now is favored to win the Big Ten.
This is the team that not playing very well, but yet they only lost by 3.
Exactly. So that's why I look at that 13-point spread and say, I don't know.
We'll win by 17.
Well, all right, Brad. We'll see.
Throw all that logic out of the window. We'll say 17.
Also want to note that Cassius Winston in that first meeting against Nebraska in January, Cassius did have his career high in that game. 29 points is what Winston poured in against the Cornhuskers back in January. Also, Aaron Henry, that's the player I want to see more of. That's the guy for me that if they can get Aaron Henry to score, just give me 10. Give me double digits, Aaron. Michigan State can turn a corner, if you will. But Aaron Henry, 9 points in that first meeting. And also, I want to give a big shout-out to who I believe needs to be named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year in Matt McQuaid. Because if you remember also in that first meeting, when he was matched up with James Palmer, Matt McQuaid really shut him down, contained him throughout the entire game. Palmer missed 15 of his 21 shot attempts due to Matt McQuaid, who was all up in his jersey. McQuaid guarded him for 37 minutes, and that was a big reason why James Palmer was not able to go off. And lastly, this may be it for Tim Miles, Brad. This is done. You look at the countless college basketball blogs out there, and you know, you look at the forums of Nebraska college basketball fans out there, and they believe that Tim Miles will be fired at the end of this season. Miles right now is 395-331. That's what his overall record reads in his 24th season, including a 112-111 record. So just one game away, one loss away from being an even 500 during his 7 seasons with the Huskers. Nebraska will miss the tourney for the 5th straight season and 6th time under Miles. He doesn't survive after this year. And it's a bit unfortunate because, I look at Tim Miles. I like Tim Miles. You know, Tim Miles is a good personality.
Great personality, you know? Yes. He's a fun coach.
He's a fun coach.
Like, yeah.
He really is. I enjoy his press conferences, but at the end of the day, this is still a line from LeBron that you heard in our introduction today. You know, it's a results-oriented business. You have to win basketball games. You can be the nicest guy in the world. If you don't win, you will be jobless in the world of college sports. Same thing I said about Tom Manassas when he was the head coach of Michigan State hockey. Tom, a great guy. Loved him. One of my favorite guests to have here on Current Sports. I loved chatting with him. But at the end of the day, you have to win games. So this may be the last time we see Tim Miles at the Breslin Center. Okay, final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just some brief thoughts on the surging Detroit Pistons. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Shout out to Brad Walker. That's a classic. That's a hip-hop classic right there. You are really doing your thing back there, Brad. And thank you so much for chipping in and filling in as engineer of this week's Current Sports with Connor Mathis, Alec Rio, and Jack Kerwin away for spring break. You know what's funny? We were just talking about Tim Miles probably being axed after this year coaching the Nebraska men's college basketball team. And you know what I'm seeing out there? A lot of people have been throwing out names as possible coaching candidates. And at the top of the hour, I told you that Luke Walton is rumored that he'll probably be fired as head coach of the L.A. Lakers. And Tyronn Lue, who led the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James to an NBA championship not too long ago, it looks like the Lakers are leaning toward — again, it's on the rumor mill, so think of this what you will — But it looks like Tyronn Lue is going to be the leading candidate to take over as the head coach of the Lakers. But also, I'm seeing on many forums out there that Nebraska may want to go after Tyronn Lue. Because Lue actually played for the Huskers from 1995 to 98 and was, an NBA assistant and head coach for the last seven seasons. But he's still really close to the program. So Tyronn Lue's name has also been tied to the Nebraska men's college basketball coaching position if, in fact, Miles is let go. So as we come up with just 2 minutes left here, real quick, the Detroit Pistons right now are the sixth-seeded team in the NBA's Eastern Conference, shocking many, including myself, a 31-31 record, an even keel 500 on a two-game win streak right now, which is which is tied for the longest win streak in the NBA's Eastern Conference right now. But just real quick, I want to give a big shout out to Dwayne Casey, because Casey, if you remember last year, Casey was let go by the Toronto Raptors, and he was the NBA's coach of the year. Only in the NBA can you be a coach of the year and still get fired. But he's the centerpiece to this whole thing. And what he has done, he's let Luke Kennard do his thing. You know, he's unleashed him a little bit. You know, since trading away Reggie Bullock, that's really opened some things up for him. And how he's gotten the big three to play together in Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and Reggie Jackson. Jackson, I'm not a big Jackson fan, but how Reggie has been playing in combination with Griffin and Drummond, it's all Dwayne Casey. And I'll further break it down on tomorrow's Current Sports, but it's all Dwayne Casey, folks. We'll have more on that on the Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll have a full recap of what happens tonight at the Breslin Center, Michigan State and Nebraska. I'll be at the game. I'll have a two-minute drill report for you later on tonight. Until then, folks, be easy, people. Ladies, tell us, get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smarty.